Welcome to Unknown Artist. I'm your host, Nikki Taylor, that Nikki you know. And today's guest is Stephen Lee Rachel.
Here we go. I know everything I've done makes you want to run away from me. All the mistakes, all the things I want to destroy about myself. I want to leave forever. I want to get out of this hell cell. Ooh. I want to fall asleep with someone I know. Trust me, even when I wanna destroy everything I own. Ain't got no truth, ain't got no love. I just wanna rip apart my soul so I can be whole. These wounds I've caused for everyone else, but most importantly for myself. I wish there was someone who could help me, but nobody wants to help me. I guess there's no myself. I need to learn to love myself.
Ooh. Ooh. Well, okay, you were the first person I've ever seen who plays a bass the way you do. You actually use like chords, like
yes.
Full chords on a bass.
Yes.
Had you ever seen anyone else do that before, or were you just like, I'm just gonna do it?
There's a large number of bass players who use chords that I listen to coming up. I guess it's traditionally not an instrument you use to play chords, but
yeah,
it's like, certainly something that I think sounds good on the instrument, especially when you're playing, you know, by yourself or whatever.
Yeah, because you have like that full, like, you know, punk band sound without, like, it sounds percussive. You have the bass, you have like those elements that you would have from, like, you know, doing like power chords on guitar, right? So like it has all the elements, and it's just blowing my mind because I personally have not seen these things in my limited scope of what I see in music. How long have you been playing like that?
I've been with the band that really got me into playing chords quickly on the bass or whatever other instrument is a band from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're called AJJ. They're okay. Originally called Andrew Jackson Jihad, and they changed that name because it's not really politically correct.
Yeah, so. when were they, like, how long ago is this?
Cause they're
this,
still I'm around.
Like, well, I'm wondering, like, how close it was to 9/11 that they changed their name.
Oh, their band name was actually... They started after 9/11. I mean,
okay.
They started, I think, when, 2007, 8, I don't know. Anyways, I learned all their songs. And the mm-hmm. singer uses a particular strumming technique without a pick. I don't generally play with a pick. And, I don't know. It's become a bit part of my style, I guess. I don't know. I mean, when I'm playing rock and roll music, it just comes up in my playing. I like the sound of it on a bass, you know. I don't understand why... The guitar should own the chords, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, thanks for your compliment on the playing, though. And there's lots of great musicians out there, you know, and ways to get inspired. I forget what your question was. I'm kind of...
don't know. Does anyone ever give you any flack for, like, not using a pick on your bass?
No, not really. No, I mean, the last time that did happen was when I was playing with a hardcore band many years ago, Jesus Horse. They're actually, I don't know if they're still around. Great band. And the guy was like, dude, you got to use a pick to get that gritty. When you use a pick in hardcore music, it gives it a different tone. The fingers are generally softer.
Yeah.
And I flail my fingers kind of like strumming like you would acoustic guitar, whatever. Anyways, but I remember actually playing with that band and the guy being like, dude, use a pick. Like, you have to use a pick. Use a pick. Like, what are you doing? You know? Mm-hmm. And it was hard because the band involved a lot of jumping around. I remember the first show we played was at Trash Bar. I think it was like the opening party for that place. And we were in the skate ramp. It was just like nonsense. But yeah, it was great. I loved it. And yeah, that was the last time I got flack for not using a pick that I can remember. Mm-hmm. Generally, I don't know, not so much anymore. I play a lot of different instruments, you know. And
yeah, what instruments do you play?
I mean, bass is my main thing. You know, I play a bit of flute. I play a bit of piano, whatever, you know. All the other instruments, too. I'm not like super adept at them or whatever, but you know, I enough to get by. I mean, I've definitely put in a number of hours on keyboards recently. I mean, I don't know. I mean, music is fun, you know, whatever. I encourage people to learn instruments. It's good for the brain and soul and stuff, you know.
Totally. And I feel like once you've learned like a couple of instruments, suddenly it's just like you can just play all the things. Mm-hmm. You know, like it doesn't take long for you to sort of get a sense for it once you already have a sense for music itself and playing music. It's just like that sort of like curiosity that you bring to it and that playfulness, that is enough to kind of like get you to some place of creating some sort of music, right?
Yeah. I like your music a lot too, Nikki. You gotta
Thanks.
Say. Mutual compliments here.
I know.
Support
and like
each
I,
other, folks.
I also like don't use a pick. I've been trying.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen you play, but I just never.
Yeah, I don't use a pick and my hand flails a lot.
Nice.
And then people make fun of me. I definitely.
Really?
I like less now than when I was like new to Montreal or like new to performing in front of people. But yeah, for the last like decade, people have been like trying to tell me how I need to like play my music. And I'm just like, nah, it's fine. I know what I'm doing.
All these people out there telling you what to do.
I mean, like it happens all the time. As like a woman in music, you show up to a show and suddenly there's like a sound guy and it's almost always a guy and it's telling you how to set up everything,
which is
great when you're actually just starting out. But like a lot of the time, like I'm already doing it and they're like, oh, let me show you how. Like,
no,
I know how to do it.
These guys, they kind of get off on like telling women what to do. They're like, sound guy. I'm not looking at you, Mars. You're great. I love you. But you know what I mean? Like I've seen it happen in... I mean, I don't know. I'm not
the cool
a woman,
thing is,
but it looks awkward.
Yeah. There's more and more good guys in music.
True.
Definitely.
True.
Definitely now more so than ever in my experience. Like like 10 years ago, it was a totally different deal. Yeah.
Fucked up. Are you allowed to swear here? Okay, whatever. I didn't mean to just drop an F-bomb, but...
No, it's fine. We can
The world's getting better. I mean, I don't know. People think it's... You can look at a lot of bad things happening, but in my opinion anyway, I just feel like people are being more educated and there's more stuff happening and, you know, for music, it's great. There's so many musicians these days. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of great stuff happening, you know? Mm-hmm. You just have to find it, look for it, you know? There's a lot of great, great musicians out there.
Absolutely.
Awesome stuff happening.
They just like come out of the woodwork.
They just
like don't even know where they came from. Just suddenly there's like millions of amazing people. Like you will just like stumble across them all the time and it's great. Mm-hmm. I hope that there's always like this never ending.
I think there will be. Just musicians running around.
Yeah, like I think more and more with music being like less of a thing that you can really make a living off of. It makes it a lot more like common that people are just kind of doing it for fun, and so then it's like less of like only professionals do it, and so there's it changes the dynamic a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Of course, I would love to be able to like continue to have it be a profession as well, but
right,
I just
well,
I don't
it
know.
Always like that, you know, back in the day, because like. I know, for example, like a style of music I studied was klezmer music, right? And, you know, there were musicians running around, but, you know, a klezmer musician, it wasn't really like somebody you'd want your daughter to marry. You know, they were kind of like, you know, like I feel like I don't know what it was actually like in the past. And I get it that, you know,
back in the day you had to buy records, back in the day you know it was a different type of economy and stuff, but there were probably just as many like struggling musicians and people who were just doing it for the love of it, or people who were doing it as hobbies back then. And I don't really know, but like I'm just questioning that, because I guess the popular narrative, quote unquote, is that, oh, it's different now, and it is, but there's way more opportunity. But back then, I mean, I wasn't alive back then, and I'm not a historian or an economist, but I mean, if I just get a vibe that there are always going to be gypsies running around with instruments, just, you know, being like that guy in, you know, one of those books about troubadour, you know, traveling from land to land. Like in the Middle Ages, you had, you know, we remember all the composers, mm-hmm. right, that wrote their music down. There was no recording, but there were a bunch of weird poet troubadour gypsies running around playing weird instruments. We don't really know what it sounded like. There was popular songs in bars. Anyways, it's just a topic that comes up. I don't know how I've come to this point. I'm just rambling.
No, I think...
Ramble!
I feel like that's totally fair. We don't really understand what life was like before we were a part of life, you know? We have no idea of what that was like, and things have changed so much, and there's very few people who are, like, really in touch with times, you know, 50 years ago as well as they are now, and you know, it's hard to make those comparisons, and I don't even know if you can, but I think you're right in that there's always been people who have been like struggling musicians, struggling artists, that maybe we just didn't hear about them as much because they didn't have their own blogs.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
there was no Twitter back then.
Yeah, no Twitter. I don't even have a Twitter. I remember making a Twitter once. It didn't last long. I see a lot of people who, because sometimes, you know, looking at different people's profiles, whatever I'm doing, mm-hmm. and you see that, like, they made a Twitter in, like, 2015, and then they, like, just stopped posting in 2017, you know? Like, these kind of social media accounts.
Oh, wow, it took that long.
I
feel like I've attempted Twitter so many times because, for various reasons. Like, a little while, I was actually managing a Twitter account for this blog that I write for, and that was pretty short-lived, but I realized that I could, like, quickly get, like, a lot of people following, but, like, they weren't really following. They were really just, like, trying to expand their own following.
Pods.
Yeah, it was so weird because, like, no one is actually engaging with anyone in a genuine way.
Right.
Or not, like, no one. I shouldn't speak in those, like, large terms.
But spammy.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of that. And I just don't really like the type of engagement you end up getting on Twitter. So, like, I have various Twitter accounts. I barely use them. And I don't know anyone who really uses Twitter very much other than, like, I don't know, like Amanda Palmer or something. You know, she was pretty famous for using Twitter a lot. But I think now, like, she's using Instagram a lot. And I feel like a lot of people are using Instagram these days. But also, like, Facebook owns Instagram now, and Facebook
is
kind
of... Yeah, it's a whole conglomerate.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, Amazon and Walmart and Disney, they'll all be the same company, and we'll just... That'll be it.
It's all just going to be on TikTok. It's just going to be like,
TikTok's,
you know...
Awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't have it, but I love it. I love the... what it's doing. I mean, what it is. You know?
Yeah, I've been, like, more and more aware of TikTok over the last, like, couple of months, and engaging with it a little bit, but I don't have my own account, and I don't know if I ever will. I feel like I'm, you know, I'm like in my 30s now. I feel like TikTok is very much like the tweens, and I feel a little weird like jumping in on that universe because I feel like I don't belong there. But maybe that's all in my head. Maybe that's not what.
Well, it's big business.
Is.
A lot of brands are jumping on TikTok.
Are they really?
Oh yeah, big brand content. Well, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. It's another medium to get to the consumer, you mm-hmm. know? So they have these campaigns where literally, I mean, it'll be for plenty of different things. I forget which brands were doing it. There's many of them, but, you know, it would actually be like an engagement thing. Like it would be like a challenge, you know? And so you would have people who respond to Adidas is like, how many jumping jacks can you do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's cool. I mean, a lot of people are, like, I know, for example, the chief production officer at VaynerMedia, Gary Vaynerchuk's marketing company, he loves TikTok. He's always checking it out. Because, I mean, it's just another place to see, like, where the real new thing is going to be. Like, people are always trying to predict the future and see where the next big thing is. And
mm-hmm.
that's a great vehicle for it.
Yeah, I agree. Though I don't know if I feel like we're maybe beyond like having big things, because like now there's, you know, billions of people on the planet. There's so many different ways that you can engage with people, different mediums. And I feel like there's going to be a bunch of things that are big, but you're not necessarily going to have the same kind of phenomena that we had like, you know, like 40 years ago when everyone's watching the same thing on TV. It's not the same world anymore.
It's diversified, you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point. I think you're right. I'm just trying to process that. I feel like there's a million little, instead of one big thing, there's a million little things happening.
Yeah, or maybe like a bunch of things that are the same magnitude as the big things that happened then, but there's so many more people now that there's just a bunch of them.
It's weird because, like, I remember just, for example, like, randomly thinking of things that are popular, like Star Wars is so popular, Disney buys it and all this. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but just seeing, like, the whole thing unfold before your eyes and then everybody's reaction to it, you know, it's a little bit overwhelming, you know? I feel a lot of people, like, what was that movie that got popular or story that got popular, like, Into the Wild, where the guy just bails on society? I feel a lot of people, like, young people, I don't know, I'm not super young, but I feel they feel that way that... Man, this is so much stuff. Well, actually, probably a lot of people just enjoy it, too. People are just loving it because it's just another way to connect with human beings. Like, as human beings, we're all, like, lonely and sad, and we want to connect with people, right?
Yeah.
And certain people get that, and they have it, and they just roll with it. A lot of people don't have that, or even the people who seem to have those connections don't have it. So these forms of social media, I mean, they're many things. They're brand content. They're this. You have, you know, fake news, propaganda, whatever. There's trolls. There's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a lot of illegal stuff. The internet's really big on illegal stuff. But
yeah,
like...
I learned Twitter actually is a lot of sex work.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, I think Twitter is for the sex work. I think that is just what it's for now.
I mean, if it that works, it works. Novels. You know, maybe it makes the industry more transparent. You know, like, maybe they, we could get, I don't know.
Maybe
I
mean, more accountable? Who knows?
I don't know. I'm not super familiar with this, but I can only imagine what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess... I have a very tainted view because, like, the account that I was managing was for, the blog that I write for is called Taboo List, and we tend to talk about sex.
Sure.
And that's most
Which
of what
great.
We talk about. Yeah. It's a super sex-positive blog. It's fantastic, but also as a result of that, I ended up, like, following, like, a lot of, you know, like, sex toy creators or testers or, reviewers, and so, like, there was just, like, that whole world. Then there was just, like, tons of sex workers. That was my Twitter feed.
That's good, you know. You gotta look at something on the internet. I mean, I feel that is something that a lot of people... I mean, that's the other thing, too, is that the internet's discreet, right? I mean, it's becoming less discreet now, but you could do things on the internet that, you're anonymous, right?
Yeah, there's a certain amount of discretion in, like, because there's just so much noise, right? Like if there's... It's like bystander effect, right? Like, if there's so many people around and something happens... there's less likelihood that anything's going to actually like happen as a result of that because everyone expects everyone else to do something about it no one really reacts. You're kind of like, there's a lot of people, who really cares, you know? Like, so it's easy for things to kind of get shuffled down to the bottom. So you can like do whatever you want on the internet, and the like, unless someone's specifically trying to find something on you, like the odds of it actually like coming back on you are pretty slim.
Unless they're like a crazy hacker, you have the deep web and all this stuff. You go down rabbit holes on the internet, right? It's going on the internet, it's there forever.
Oh god, but it's not though. There, that actually.
I don't know.
So I used to create websites, and I as like a teen, and I would
GeoCities,
Tripod?
Remember that?
I don't remember Tripod, but I remember. Actually, I remember Trillion, which was like a messenger app. Anyways, there's a whole bunch of different like free hosting sites that I used, and I would use that to like host all of my like poetry and like, you know, fiction writing that I'd been doing and
awesome.
Yeah, just like all the random things, and it was my way of like having it stored so that I wouldn't lose it, right? And then like years later I tried to like go back and I was like shocked to find that I was never even like notified that they had taken it down. It's gone forever now.
Over.
I had several chapters of a book I was writing.
Oh no.
Gone forever.
Finished. Well, you learned your lesson. Now you gotta write it down on paper, maybe, or
probably I should. Or just like accept that nothing is static in the universe.
Yeah.
Change is inevitable.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's one of the constants, anyways, changing mm-hmm. the universe. I mean, so much has changed in my life since, you know, of course, since I was born. And I think since, you know, everybody goes through changes, and how are you supposed to deal with it? I don't know. I mean, it's either good or bad.
Though you did mention that a lot of your music tends to be about change and
yeah,
and
I guess so. I mean, I just write what's on my mind, you know. I mean, for me, I played for many years as a gigging guy, sideman, bass player, playing with different bands, different styles. And then at one point in 2016, I just made my own solo album, did a couple more since, been working with different musicians on things. And at that point, I was just like, man, I'm just going to play what's going on. And, you know, people seem to like it, whatever. Mm-hmm. People don't. I mean, it's all good. I mean, it's a fun thing to do, you know, like a sport. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like my sports? Favorite sport.
You like jazz? Well, actually, it's funny. I saw this study that for professional, like, orchestral musicians, like, when they perform solos, like a violin concerto or something, like, scientists did a study, and they're using, like, as much of their body as an athlete would, because it takes a lot of practice. And I need to practice 40 hours a day to get as good as Ling Ling. The shout out to Two Set Violin. Anybody knows them? Anyways. All those guys. Yeah, so, you know, music's fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. Do you want to do another
yeah,
song?
Yeah, you can do a song.
All right, let's.
Ooh. Merchandising, people getting creative with that is awesome, for especially if you're, you know, like not like, you know, some huge thing, but you're, you know, you're doing your thing. And I've seen artists or musicians sell paintings and stuff, and whatever you make, you know, it's fine. But you said what else I'm working on. So it's just that, this other thing with the mice show, Sheer Scales. It'll be called Sheer Scales with the big people. We call it Sheer Scales because it's just us being nutty and trying to get the biggest thing, whatever. And, so just really editing on that, you know, finishing those off. And then, you know, I write songs and I have, you know, things that I do.
Yeah, there's always more projects that will come
but
up.
I'm kind of just like, you know, letting the like, also a big thing that happened is very sad, is my very close friend and collaborator from Haiti, Dialkadi, he suffered a very severe stroke in October, and he was actually like not supposed to make it, kind of, I don't know, it was weird, kind of like organ stealing, I think, but it was a very, very, very severe stroke. So he's in recovery now, out of the hospital, but we were like about to, we had assembled a really good band for a festival we do every year, and we were about to like apply for grants, and I've been playing with him for many, many years. I've been to New Orleans with him and a bunch of stuff, so that kind of got put on hold. But now that he's out, like a part of what I'm working on is, you know, I'm gonna go, I haven't seen him in a while, sadly, love you man, but I have to go, you know, see him and work kind of on that thing, because I've been with him for a long time and he's always been really loyal to me. So I like to have my back for people who
have
my back, you know
what
I mean?
That's a huge thing to happen.
Yeah, then, it's sad. I mean, have you ever had, like, somebody, a friend, family stroke or heart
attack? I mean, like, I've definitely had family members with strokes, like my grandpa. And, yeah, like, any, like, major medical illnesses, especially when they're sudden and unforeseen, or just, like, they can really wipe you out.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it was crazy. So yeah, and yeah, just finishing off those things. Goblin Butler, Sheer Scales. We're starting Sheer Scales, and then I don't know. I mean, I'm feeling out like the people around me and who I vibe with and who I really like to play with, you know, and who really likes playing with me. Because I'm kind of a weird musician. Like I'm all, kind of all over the place, and I feel like there's certain people who really like me. There's certain people who really hate me. There's certain people who. It's just finding the right kind of fit of, you know, not forcing it, not just being like, hey, let's do this now. It's like, okay, who's like actually like kind of in what I want to do?
Yeah.
And not like a compromise. Like, not that I don't like playing with other people, and I've played some really awesome shows recently with some great artists as kind of a guest, or like maybe a one-off, but maybe there'll be more gigs down the road or whatever, which I love to meet musicians like that. I used to do that all the time. But now it's more kind of like, okay, I have my life, and in terms of what I'm working on, besides finishing that, you know, I want to meet people and see who really is into what I kind of want to do, which is, I want to do something that's like, everyone says it, but I want to do something very, you know, that no one's done before, that's new and exciting and all that. And, you know, it takes a while to get that together.
Yeah, it's hard to find like musicians that you really vibe with, that you're like going on the same path with, that you work together really well. Like, I feel like when I first started doing music, I was pretty open to like playing with anyone.
Yeah.
And as I did this more and more, I became more and more selective about who I play music with. And I think to this day, there's still like, there are some musicians that I'm like, I respect you as a musician. I never want to play with you.
Yeah.
And like other people that I'm just like, oh my God, I love playing with you so much. So it really, there's a lot of factors in it. And it's not just a matter of like whether or not you're good. It's yeah,
the
it's
vibe.
That vibe, that chemistry, and whether or not you actually really click.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely it. So yeah, I mean, but life is good, you know. I mean, I've gone through a lot of changes, you know, and things are pretty good right now. Like, I'm friends with this guy, Dave Lynn, and he always talks about gratitude, and I've been really like trying to get in touch with that gratitude.
How do you get in touch with it?
Well, it's hard, right? I mean, it depends. I mean, if you have a great life, then it's easy to be grateful. The trick is to be grateful in the moments of pain and suffering, right?
I think it, like, even if you are having like a really great life, I think sometimes people are like really easy, it's really easy to forget to be grateful for what you have.
Oh yeah, that's when you get a bunch of assholes.
Well, like, I think if you haven't been tested in a while, like in terms of like big tests in your life, it's very easy to become really complacent and bored with whatever you have, even if it's
100%.
Yeah.
100%. It's all about, I mean, that's the thing about change, right? We're talking about change or whatever, growth. I mean, it just sounds like a mindless platitude, but I mean, if you're not going up, you're going down, like you kind of need to be going to the next level of whatever you're doing, whether it's your career, your relationships, your personal life, your art, whatever it is. And it's okay to fall along the way. I mean, I've had many setbacks in so many different areas of my life. And, you know, I guess it sounds kind of stupid, but I mean, I guess it makes you stronger in the end. You learn from it. I mean, what else are you going to do? Just, you know, fall down the rest of your life? I mean, you got to eventually, you know, pull yourself up, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that makes sense. I mean, I don't mean to be insensitive to suffering, you know?
I get what you're saying, though. Like, because there's definitely moments in life where you know, you just are down and you need to stay there for a little while. But, like, for the most part, you need to be actively working to get yourself out of that. And that's a skill that you develop over time from just having been down for a long time and eventually
been down so long.
Exactly. God, the Doors, love it.
Thorsted at Park Rossell. Been down so, I love it.
Yeah, that's a cover, right? Like the Doors do. Like,
yeah, it's a Doors song. I think
is
it's
it
a
an
song.
Original?
Yeah,
okay.
It's a Doors song, I think. But it sounds like they could have ripped it off from an old.
Yeah, I feel like they definitely.
Maybe they did. I don't
they
know.
Definitely did rip off. Like, well, I don't know if they gave credit. I would like to think that they gave credit to the people that they covered, but I don't know if I have that confidence in Jim Morrison. I feel like I really like the Doors, and I love the sound of them, and I like the songs that they've written and performed. I feel like Jim Morrison would be an asshole and I would hate him.
Probably. I mean, I think that's the general consensus on him. Is that?
Yeah.
I mean, they made the movie about him and like, he wasn't like super likable. I mean, I don't know. I think it was somebody today that was doing this. I saw just on the internet, people were talking about different people and they were saying how most of the really big people who changed the world, like are kind of, like, they're kind of assholes. Like, they're mean people, so to speak, right? Now, it's not saying that really kind people can't become really famous. I mean, you can bring up many different examples. But if you just look, for example, at, like, a guy like Jeff Bezos, right, who just gave $10 billion to pledge to the climate, whatever.
Yeah, of course, he gave it. Yeah.
Right, but you know what I mean? This guy, like, yeah. I mean, whatever, he's a genius or whatever you might want to call him in terms of how he grew his business. But, like, you know, he's kind of a shark. He's
not even kind of. Like,
well, the Amazon culture is, like, really, really intense in terms of the work culture. Like,
yeah, it's scary. I remember like
hardcore.
What, like a year ago, it was coming out that people were like peeing in bottles because they couldn't take a break for the bathroom because it was like,
yeah, they time your breaks.
Yeah,
or those toilets, they have the angled toilets. You heard about that?
Oh
recently?
God, yeah, so that you can't like sit there for very long. Like, what if you just
hide
really need to? Like, what if you have like bowel issues and you have to like sit there for a while? Like, I don't know. I feel like there's just not enough flexibility, not enough.
It's
like,
just a
remembering.
Different mindset between people who are quote unquote lazy. You mm-hmm. call them, right? That's how society says. I'm not saying they're necessary, but people, and then people who are just like complete workaholics. Mm-hmm. People who are like, I need to become, and it's like not even these workaholics. For example, wealthy people. I mean, I don't know like a bunch of them or anything like that, but like, you know, like, they do them for different reasons. I mean, we can say that there's a bunch of evil people there are, but, you know, it's like, some people are like, man, like, I want to have enough to be able to take care of my grandkids, God forbid the economy crashes. I want to have enough to be able to do X, Y, Z, not just selfishly, because I think that, you know, like, at the end of the day, it feels really good to do good stuff for people. Mm-hmm. Like, when I help somebody legitimately, like, I feel really good. And I don't know, maybe I'm naive. I guess there's a lot of evil, evil people out there. There are.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that is a really complicated issue, first of all, and it's not like easily solved. But I do think like if given the right sort of like early childhood and adolescent like education and not just in terms of like math and science or whatever, but like actually character development and how to be like a good person and contribute to your community and all of that kind of stuff. I think we could actually turn things around to having like a really sustainable way of life that is not dependent on making money for capitalist like companies. I think we could do that. I think it's very difficult, and I think that it would take a very, very long time and a lot of conditioning, a lot of changing and policy changes and stuff. It would be a big headache, but I think it's possible. I don't think people are like just going to be evil forever.
Right, right. Well, it just reminds me of this page I follow on the internet. It's like called, what is it? Fully Automated Luxury Gay Space Communism.
Whoa.
And it's just kind of like leftist memes that kind of like, you know, are funny, but like taking their ideas to the extreme of that. Okay, well, if we're on a technological society and if eventually everything's automated and everything's taken care of, there will be no need to work and it'll be like communism but fully automated and, of course,
that'd,
you know,
be great.
In space and gay. Yeah, it'd be great, right? Just like paradise.
Like I would really love for computers to take over all the jobs so that there are no jobs for anyone. That right. would be great, wouldn't it?
I don't know. It might get a bit weird, though, because remember what you said before about being complacent and stuff. I feel I feel like if we got to that point, like it sounds great, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like if we got there, people would like kind of, like what's that movie they made, WALL-E? Remember that movie with the robot?
And then they go sleeping a lot during that movie.
Right, but it's like there's a robot on the earth that was destroyed and they go see the humans and the humans are just like obese and are just like everything's taken care of for them. Okay.
Song.
Thank you. It's very sugary. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I like. So you mentioned dreams in it, and
yes,
what kind of dreams do you have?
Oh man, I dream about people and stuff, and sometimes things get really like I want to say psychedelic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're a big dreamer. Are you a huge dreamer?
Yes. Yes.
Oh wow. I feel like you maybe dream. Well, I don't know. I feel because the thing is, like, I feel I smoke a bit too much weed, and that kind of gets in the way of my dreams.
It does, actually.
It
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
Right. When I smoke less weed, I dream a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I see people. Sometimes I see, like, dead people.
Like, people that you know to be
people
dead?
People I know that are dead, and then also people from, like, history. Like, I remember many years ago, it's a dream I remember, I met Gandhi in a dream once, which was
How'd
crazy.
That go?
It was interesting. I mean, I don't remember everything from it, but it was one of those dreams where you can kind of fly.
Yeah.
Like I was jumping. Like I wasn't flying, but I was jumping really high.
Yeah.
And I was kind of jumping around with him and stuff. And we weren't really talking. We were just chilling. But yeah, dreams are really intense for me. Don't remember a lot recently. Most recent dreams I've had, however, have been about specific people in my life and seeing them and talking with them, hugging them. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember having a dream recently where I saw somebody I haven't seen in a while. And we were, like, in line at a restaurant, and we just hugged mm-hmm. and just waited in line at the restaurant kind of thing. I don't know. Other times, yeah, like, really far out, crazy dreams. Like, I have some dream journals from many years ago that got some crazy stuff in it.
It's funny how when you wake up from a dream and you start writing down the stuff in your dreams, you're so in the dream still that, like, every little bit of detail seems like you're just kind of writing down all the things, but like there's so much that you can't can't really describe accurately. And so then when, like, you're reading it years later and you don't remember the dream, you're just like, these details are weird and I don't understand any of what you think was happening. So there's a lot of, like, reading things and I was just like, well, I don't understand what's happening in this. But I like, a lot of my dreams tend to be, like, I have different categories of dreams. Like, I have ones that are, like, kind of realistic, and then ones that are, like, really abstract, like, things that I, like, remember having a dream where, like, I was in the bathtub, and then suddenly, like, everything was just brown and melting, but, like, then that turned into, like, I think I, like, flew over to some other place where there's an art gallery, and it was you know, like, things are very, like, not realistic.
I've done this, too.
Yeah, and, like, seeing someone in my dream, and I was like, it was my friend, but it wasn't my friend. Like, it was, but, like, didn't like look like him.
Like a deja vu kind of thing, almost?
Yeah, well, like, when, like, I remember having a dream of someone that I knew, but it didn't look like them, but it was them, but it was, like, how they, like, the way that they looked represented how they felt, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, like, there, like, a lot of weird dreams like that, and, like, I've had, you know, dreams that were, like, premonition-type dreams, where, like, you know, the next day I find out something, and it was like, oh, my dream was accurate. A little bit. I don't know. I think most people are, a little bit. Right. I think we just stamp it out.
The intuition. Get away from me.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, there's so much stigma to it, right? Like, because so few people actually believe that that is, like, a real thing in this, like, scientific, you know, Western view of the world. And so, like, as you're a child and you have these dreams or you have ideas or, like, intuition, like, intuitive feelings, and you share that with an adult, they'll be like, oh, that's funny. And, like, you know,
okay, go sit. Go.
Yeah, they treat you like a child.
Take a cookie.
Yeah, they think it's silly or cute or, like, weird. And then you learn that it's not going to be taken seriously. And then you learn very quickly that, like, it's not worth taking seriously. And,
right.
So then you just stop paying attention to it.
Right. Don't tell that to Salvador Dali, though.
Oh, God, no.
He's the dream master. You ever get into, on the subject of dreams, like lucid dreaming or like
a little bit.
Like that?
I am not, like, very good at it, but I definitely have been able to do it, like, a couple of times.
Yeah, me too. It's scary, though.
It's scary, but, like...
It's like, what the hell?
It's really
astral projection, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's super weird. I've had some weird run-ins with that. Like, I remember, like, finding a book about astral projection in, like, I went into my roommate's room because I was, like, borrowing something, and then, like, you know, this book was on the floor,
was,
and then
what
I just
was it called? What was it called?
I don't remember, but it was, like, a really quick read. It was a small little book on astral projection.
Like a pamphlet.
No. It took a few hours.
Okay.
I definitely sat on the floor, read
novella.
A book. Yeah. A novella, if you will, on astral projection. It had, like, some, you know, techniques and whatever. And then, like, maybe a few months after that, I ended up kind of feeling like I may have had an experience with that person who, like, had the book, like, the roommate who had the book. I felt like maybe they were kind of doing some stuff from the book too. It was a weird experience, and I have no proof of anything. But yeah, astral projection is super weird.
Yeah, I had my experience. I mean, it was a similar kind of thing where, for me, there was a book, it was called 30 Days to Astral Projection.
Okay.
And this was many years ago. I was a very sad young man. I had gone through some stuff. It was
What kind of stuff?
Just like a bunch of things in life, like losing people in relationships, losing all some material possessions, you know, growing up.
Transition, loss,
whatever. Yeah, a bunch of stuff that everyone goes through. It's not important. But anyways, the 30 Days to Astral Projection book, and I remember studying it and doing it and getting it to work. For people listening, like, one of the things they talk about is you put your body to sleep but keep your mind awake, which you can actually kind of do in a weird way even if you're not that trained. Anyways, it was really scary. I it happened to me. I don't know, maybe one day I'll try it again, but that's a whole world of spiritual stuff.
It is an entire world.
Weird. A lot of stuff there, man.
I remember, like, so my dad was really into, like, chakras and astral projection and, like, all that kind of, like, new age spiritual stuff. And so that we had, like, those books just, like, lying around the house when I was a kid. So, like, I don't know, I was like 10 or something when I started like learning to meditate and like things like that and separating my mind from my body and doing that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think that's been kind of like a thing that's been in my life throughout my life.
Right.
I don't know. When did you start?
For me, I mean, my parents weren't that cool.
To be fair, I don't think my parents were cool.
Okay. They just happened to be into some
like cool they're cool
stuff.
In their own way, and right. that everyone has their own cool things. But
my
they weren't like
are
cool
so
parents.
Uncool. Get out of your dad. You're embarrassing me.
To be honest, I don't even know if I knew anyone who had cool parents. Like, because I think anyone who had like cool parents, like there was something weird about them. Like. Podcast before COVID. Stay safe, stay clean, stay healthy.